Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Sports Virgins, the podcast from Pomodo, where a pair of total sport novices, that's me, Amy Vose.
And me, Matt Richardson.
Get to learn all about the world of sport. In this episode, we'll be covering off doping in sport.
Yeah. Oh, it was. I'm just borrowing this blood for a bit.
Footballers taking a crafty crap during a match.
Surely you didn't need to do the scoot.
And celebs owning sports teams.
I own a soccer team and everyone's like, that's amazing, even though it's like, you know, three men in one stand.
Welcome to Sports Virgins. Here we go. Welcome to Sports Virgins. This is the podcast for, well, I think people who listen to sport, but generally about two people who know nothing about sport, who I think to say are clueless, but would like to learn a bit more.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll give it a go anyway.
I mean, like, why not? I suppose it's one thing that I've been missing out on my whole life.
Well, people seem to really enjoy it.
I want to get it. It's like going to see a French film without subtitles. Like, I want to enjoy it, but I just don't understand how.
Yes, exactly. So I'm Amy Vose. I'm a radio presenter. I have a very brief sporting background. And Matt Richardson, comedian.
Former radio presenter.
We used to work together
for a while. And I know nothing. I'm an idiot when it comes to sport.
But you know comedy, and that's... And
very well, which is really useful these days, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we can do. And Dylan, who is our sports expert. So whenever we say something mildly embarrassing, you can basically call us a pair of plonkers, I suppose. And
yeah, I mean, I'm glad you said expert, because I was thinking you were going to say sports geek, but, you know...
Yeah, like, you're a bit of a sports boff, aren't you?
How good are you? Are you the person that people go, he's at the pub quiz, we're going to smash this sports round?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Any pub quiz, I completely dominate the sports round.
Do you?
You can hear it in his voice. Your voice just went to a different sort of level.
The excitement.
Like, yeah, it's like you
We're looking for a sports person for my local pub quiz, so maybe we'll have to tap you up now.
Call me in.
You get really into it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, all those years of just watching sports, you know, finally has come to this. This is my calling. I knew it would be useful.
I almost feel nervous in front of you, Dylan, because I feel like we'll say things and you're going to look at us with fire in your eyes, like, you absolute idiot.
Yeah,
like,
I'm always thinking it.
Yeah, because people who are as passionate about sport probably find us a bit annoying, but we want to rectify that, really, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But you know what? Let's see those sports people talk about musical theatre in front of us or something, and we'll make them feel like idiots, and then we'll be the cool kids.
Exactly. So what was your at school, Matt? Because I do think sport plays such a pivotal role. Like, if you're good at sport at school, you're golden, aren't you? Like, that sets you, you're like, well, I'm good at sports. You kind of get away with stuff. But what was your history at school?
So I was not classically good at sport. Obviously, like you say, they were all the cool kids, really, weren't they? So, like, Liam Corrigan in my year at school was really good at golf and football, and everyone thought he'd go on to be like a famous footballer. And no one thought much of me. And, you know, here we are 15 years later, and he is a plumber and I am a semi-famous comedian. So long term.
You had the last laugh?
Long term, I absolutely had the last laugh. Although I was really quick. So I used to do sports day and I would always come second to him and everyone would be like, oh my God, where did that come from? I was a bit of a surprise kind of wild card on sports day. So I used to have like a little moment of joy doing the 100 metres.
Well, maybe you've missed out because you're pretty leggy, aren't you?
I'm all legs.
You're all legs. Yeah. So maybe there's a sportsman within you you're not aware of. You just didn't try out the right ones.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'm not competitive at all. and I've no interest in doing any sort of exercise.
Right.
And they're two of the three kind of tent poles of sport, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy as long as we're all having a nice time. I've got a really competitive girlfriend, and like, whenever we go and do anything like bowling with friends, and I'm always just like, I'm just having a lovely day. And she's like, well, you're ruining my day by not being good enough. So I could never do sport like that then.
See, that's interesting, because I was quite competitive at school, but I was never good enough at a sport to really excel at. So it was frustrating for me because I had the competitive, but just not the talent.
Did you do that thing then where you kind of went, oh, I just don't want to do this. Like, it's for losers.
Okay, this is a prime example. I was okay at running. Like, I'm 5'2", so I really tried. You can imagine, very short legs. Yeah. And one year, when anyone who was good at sport, it kind of like, there'd be like a regional competition at a place called Saffron Lane in Leicester, and it would be a proper sports track. And Caroline Cochrane, who was the best runner, always won every year, she was ill. So they were like, we need someone. They were like, Amy, do you want to run at Saffron Lane? And I was like, oh my God, like 100 meters. I was like, wow. So obviously I said yes, but the nerves were so bad. On the day, I asked someone who was doing the long jump, which I had never done before, and I'm 5'2", to switch with me so I didn't have to run in front of the stadium. So this girl was like, yeah, I'll do it. She didn't place very well. And I was in the middle of the like pitch where no one could see me, and obviously came last in the long jump. The pressure was too much. I couldn't handle it. And I was just like, I know I'm not going to win that, so I can't go through with it. That's pathetic.
That is. Whereas I'd have just been like, well, I'm really glad I gave it a go.
No.
That's very much my outlook on everything.
I couldn't handle it. I dare we ask Dylan how you were. Were you golden boy at school?
Well, I don't mean to brag, but...
I'm absolutely going to.
Have your moment.
Well, yeah. So I played county cricket, football and rugby, and then went on to play for Wales at rugby, and then sort of ditched the other two sports and, well, all the other sports and focused on rugby.
So you played for your country for rugby. Yeah,
professionally.
Right. Yeah, well, I got to all age groups, and I played for the seven-a-side, which you probably means nothing to you in rugby, but I didn't play for proper Wales. So I played like up to under-21s and then the sevens, but the ones you see in the Six Nations and stuff, I didn't play for them.
Yeah.
I thought I was quite close at some points, but...
Could you have played for Wales in the Six Nations?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that level of confidence is something I dream to have.
Yeah.
I mean, not now, a bit old now, but...
Yeah. There was a point where that could have been your trajectory.
Yeah, that was a realistic goal of mine for a couple of years before realizing, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe I should go and do something else in my life.
Wow, but just to get that far is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Like, once again, you're probably like, well, you failed because you didn't play for Wales properly. And I'm like, how good for you?
No, I'm actually like, how incredible you can even say that sentence that, yeah, I was, that's quite something.
Yeah, I played every sport, every single sport going, I played.
And you enjoyed them?
Yeah, I enjoyed everything. I was quite shit at swimming.
Yeah.
Is there not one you hate it? Because, like, I would have a bash at everything. Like, I despise netball. And it was like when, being a girl at school, that was like the go-to sport.
Well, it's like the only one they offered you, really.
Yeah.
Until about 2002, it was just like, netball for the girls, please.
Yeah, it was awful. And I'd be like, right, well, I want to be centre because there's no point in being anywhere near the net. But it was just really horrible. It was always cold. The ball would always land on your fingers, and jar your fingers, which was so painful. And again, I just wasn't that good. So it was just a complete waste of my time.
I enjoyed playing the boys, girls in netball. That was quite good fun.
We never did that. My mum
used to
netball.
Thrash the girls as well, to be honest with you.
Did she? My mum's a big
netballer. There's no fun in that.
I know. I shouldn't say that.
There was nothing that was that, I don't know, fun.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even played netball.
Oh, I quite like trampolining.
That's good fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of on that line between sport and circus act, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very blurry bit of sports.
That was good fun.
Did they do trampolining in the Olympics? Or is that a stupid question already?
I think they do it professionally, don't they?
They do it professionally. I'm not sure if it's in the Olympics. It's, gymnastics is very trampoliney, but I don't think it's trampolining.
Trampoliney.
Yeah, technical term. We're getting technical here. But no, trampolining I don't think is in the actual Olympics. But yeah, it is a professional sport.
Okay, fine.
Oh, and I used to like that one as well, where you're on a mat with a ribbon. Did you?
Yeah.
You probably never got to do that.
Never did it.
You'd have like in gymnastics, you have a stick with a ribbon on the end.
Yeah, it's like,
I love dance.
So I played for Wales in that. No, joking.
It's like dressage without the horse.
Yeah. It's like an imaginary friend. It's great.
Lower class dressage.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I enjoyed that. But yeah, so that's pretty much. I mean, I did. Do you know what might shock you? I actually did A level PE.
Oh, right.
Yeah, just because I was. I think if I'm honest, I picked subjects which I didn't think would be that hard. So I did like theatre studies PE. But I.
Oh God, you never wrote anything down.
Yeah.
Classics.
Classics wasn't easy.
Oh, wasn't it? But that was like the go-to, wasn't it? For
classics.
Classics is like Greek literature and things like that.
It's yeah, but hard, you know, it's not like a real one, like, you know, geography, history.
It isn't. It's not a real one. And I still got a D in classics at GCSEs.
Well, I got a D in A-level PE, so clearly it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, keep forgetting your trainers?
Yes, I know, but it was just quite hard. It was a lot harder than I thought.
Do you know, if you represent your country at a sport, you get an automatic A in your physical for PE.
Do you really? A-levels,
yeah. Automatic A. Didn't even have to do the physical test. Automatic A.
You see, sport gets you everywhere. It's yeah. Jesus.
Really That's does get you.
So you missed out. You could have, you know, if you'd have taken running seriously, Matt.
I should have taken it more seriously. Like, I did run for my county at one point when I was like 13. And then, but then I just sort of got lost interest.
Yeah.
Then I decided that sport wasn't my way forward. I started doing magic at kids' parties because I thought that was the way to really land the babes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I left my sporting background behind.
It worked for David Copperfield. He married Claudia Schiffer.
It absolutely did. And I'll tell you what, I was 13 and 8 years later, I had my first babe. So, 21, I lost my virginity. Yeah, really, really invested my time into that. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't meet a lot of women at kids' parties who aren't already married with children, so yeah. Or children themselves.
Pretty unique pickup that I wasn't expecting it. So that's pretty much our sporting
yeah. We don't know anything
background, yeah. But we
don't know anything. Don't
worry.
Really have any interest.
We're starting low. You will learn.
Okay, fine.
Set the bar low. I thought what would be interesting if we look at the sports news of the week and see if we know about it.
Okay.
Because sometimes I do see things and I'm like, oh, that maybe that's interesting, but then I, you know, don't.
The last time I read a sports news story was it's Rebecca Vardy's account.
That's
the closest I get to a sports news story.
Okay, so Dylan, you hit us with some news stories and we'll see what we know.
Okay, so the first story, you know, I'd like to say it's a pretty big one, but let's see. If you know it. So Gareth Bale has just rejoined Spurs on a season-long loan. So it's been a bit of a saga about Gareth Bale's transfers. So first off, do you know who Gareth Bale is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you genuinely?
He played Batman. No, that's good. It's Christian Bale. It's like, wow.
He was Welsh as well, though.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is Welsh. Is Gareth Bale Welsh?
Yeah, I've given it away there. Yeah, he's Welsh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's got long hair.
Yeah, he's got like a bit of a like a man bun, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah.
But do you know what sport he plays?
Yeah, football.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spurs are actually it's quite misleading because Spurs are something used in horse riding, so it's not really a football thing, is it?
But. So yeah, so he's one of the world's best footballers.
Okay.
And he's just rejoined Tottenham Hotspur. Do you know what club he's rejoined from where he went?
Real Madrid.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh my god. Look at you.
So he's been in Spain for the last 6 years. And when he signed for them, 6 years ago-ish, it was a pretty big story. It was actually the world record transfer at the time.
I ask though, why do they do these loans? Like, I don't know.
Exactly. How does that work?
Like, oh, what? You're not performing? Or is he like, oh, can I just go and help Spurs out? I don't get that at all.
So quite often, like, people will go on loan if they're not like playing week in, week out for their club and they need some sort of match sort of practice and they go to usually a lesser club to try and get some match time.
Yeah.
In this instance, the reason is that his wages are so high that no other club can afford to pay his wages. So the loan deal is that basically Spurs are paying 50% of his wages, whereas Madrid are basically taking the hit on the other 50% because...
But why isn't he playing full time for Madrid?
Well, he is, but they kind of want to get rid of him because his wage is too high.
How much is too high?
Well, do you want to hazard a guess? So football is done on a weekly wage basis. So
yeah.
Do you want to hazard any guesses?
I mean, the only time I've ever worked on a weekly wage is when I worked in a shop. It's like footballers and shop workers are the only two people.
Yeah.
And it's like £93 a week or £300,000 a week. Like, is it going to be north of £300,000 a week.
So his actual wage is £600,000 a week.
A week?
A week.
Jesus.
So Spurs are paying £300,000. So you're right on the one that Spurs are paying.
I mean, what a bargain for Spurs then.
Yeah.
£300,000 a week for 50% of
but
his wages.
But then also, I have to ask this. So when a team like sign a player, they pay another club for it. That money doesn't go to the player, that goes to the club.
That gets split in a variety of ways.
Okay, because I was going to say, because that feels like they're paying them £300,000 a week, and then they're like, and we paid them £25 million to come.
Yeah, they'll also get a pretty decent signing on fee as well.
Okay.
But yeah, so his £600,000 a week wage at Real Madrid for the last 6 years. So I think that's £30 million a year. So pretty solid.
Yeah.
Just retire.
And he also got... He also
play a year of football and then bow out.
Well, so this is why Madrid want to get rid of him. Because he hasn't really been performing because he's been slightly distracted.
By what? A lady?
No, not a lady. He's got a lady and he's got a family, but...
I mean, let's not pretend that stops football in any way.
Exactly. But basically, he's fond of golf. So firstly, he's been injured a lot. So he's had a bit of injury problem. So they're like, oh God, he's bloody injured again.
If they're injured, do they still get paid their £600,000?
Absolutely.
You just go down, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just do a flip. Yeah. Oh, my ankle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we're saying this like because we couldn't be bothered to play, whereas I think they actually enjoy it.
Okay.
Do they? Fine. But the pressure, I can handle the pressure of being paid £600,000 a week. That's...
I mean,
I think I'd get used to it quite quickly.
Yeah.
He's delivered as well. He's delivered good value. You know, since he's been there, they've won Champions Leagues, they've won titles. He has scored big goals in big games for them.
So for a while, he was worth the money, but just not at the moment.
Yeah, he's been a little bit injured. And also, he's like, what they think is that his focus has been on playing for Wales. So he always plays for Wales, but he's always injured for Madrid, but he always plays for Wales. And also, he plays a lot of golf. He's basically... a semi-professional golfer whilst getting paid shitloads to play football for.
Oh, is he going to be one of these that transitions into a different sport? That would be quite interesting.
He could do. He is very good at golf.
Oh,
very.
That's not fair. You're not allowed two things.
So it's got so bad that the headline in the local Madrid newspaper, like the Sun or the Times of the Real Madrid, was in Spanish, obviously, Wales Golf Madrid... in that order, basically saying he doesn't give a shit about Madrid, we're paying him all his money, and it's Wales Golf Madrid. So when he then went to play for Wales, again, like, oh, he was injured for Madrid, but he was fit for Wales, so he played for Wales, they won a big game.
I've got to ask though, is that a standards thing? Because like Wales don't feel like a team that are always in like the top tier of football internationally.
Well, traditionally they haven't, but because of people like Bale, they got the semi-finals of the Euros in 2016.
So absolutely.
But traditionally not. Okay. But yeah, for Wales are having a bit of a sort of twilight years of they've got a couple of good players, mainly him who's been carrying the team, but they've got a couple of good players, so they're doing well at the moment. But they actually put together this headline in the newspaper. So when he then went back to play for Wales and, you know, he scored the goal and they qualified and all this stuff, all the players were celebrating at the end of the match and someone gave him the Welsh flag that had Wales Golf Madrid in it. So you'd think that he would be a little bit coy. He was like celebrating. So I've actually got a photo here to show
me.
So this is the flag and this is him.
Oh, that's a bit
celebrating wildly with his flag.
That's
basically
a bit
mocking them. Rubbing in their faces a little bit.
I mean, I was going to say, can't they just go see you later? But then if he is, well, he was performing.
I thought they'd given him a flag and it was in Spanish still, so he just had no idea.
Yeah, that would be better.
No.
Because it feels like they all go to these countries for years and don't really bother, do they, learning, like, you don't go to Spain.
Well, that's another criticism of him. They're you come here, you play golf, you go back and play for Wales, you haven't learned the language, you don't give a shit, you're injured all the time. And we're paying you £600,000 a week. Please leave?
You'd get like a Rosetta Stone for £600,000 a week.
Isn't there a footballer? Now, this is something I saw. It was on YouTube. Or is it a manager that puts on a bit of an accent to try and sound like he's making an accent?
Steve McLaren. Ex-England manager.
Really,
he went to Holland to manage a team up there.
Yeah.
And his first press conference, he started speaking with a Dutch accent. Also, I think Joey Barton did it as well when he went to France.
That's it,
He's had to speak with a French accent. Basically, not trying to speak French, speaking English with a classic sort of French accent.
Like saying, I've been playing le football.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been playing le football and sometimes I go to the library with my friends.
Yeah. So the interesting thing with Bale is that he's got a sort of quite a distinctive celebration when he scores a goal. So I'll show you a picture of this as well.
Okay.
So that is his go-to celebration when he scores.
Oh, that is so Instagram. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, so that's it. So he's got that trademark. So He's got that trademarked, yeah.
So no one else in football can... So if I do... Because I'm doing it now. Do I now owe Gareth Bale some money?
Well, the trademark. So the celebration is called the 11 of Hearts because his number 11. 11 is his shirt number. That is worth £3 million a year.
Oh,
so just top that up from the 30 million.
I mean,
this guy's greedy, isn't he?
I really wish.
And any just why he does the heart, other than trying to get 3 million.
I think he thinks, you know what? I'm just not unlikable enough. I really need people
yeah,
to sort of like get more annoyed with me. So I'm going to do this really annoying thing. I'm going to name it after a card that doesn't exist. That's the bit annoying yeah. me about that the most.
Anyway, it's a bit boring, really, as for his wife.
Oh,
who was a childhood sweetheart. They're still together.
Sweet. Okay, well,
bit boring. She's lucked out, hasn't
bit
she?
Boring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They got together in school.
Yeah, he got together in school. You're like, wow. Oh, yeah, I'll let Gareth Bale, you know, have a little feel under the jumper. 15 years yeah. later, you're spending 15 million a year.
Brilliant.
Great.
So his transfer, this has been a saga for about 2 years. Who's going to sign him? Where is he going to go to? And all that kind of stuff. So he's finally gone back to Spurs, but he's injured. So he's not going to play for another, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
What kind of injuries are we talking about when he gets them?
Small injuries, like really? Niggles, hamstrings, calves.
Ingrowing toenails.
Yeah.
I've got to ask this as well, because I know that football is classically a young man's game. Is he a bit older then, and that's why this is happening?
He's about 30 now, so he's
not really
spring chicken, but he's not really an old
no, no, no.
yet. Yeah, he's got a few years left in him, so we'll see. But yeah, so that's been like a big sort of transfer saga sports story of the summer.
We've learned
and
something.
And that's done.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I mean, we've learned something, but I now really dislike this man.
Is he like liked generally, or is he?
He's liked in this country. He's idolized by Spurs fans.
Right.
Because he was amazing for them. He signed for like 90 million
yeah.
and now he's back. So he's got a lot of pressure. He's got high expectations.
How's he thought of in Wales? Is he a real local hero?
Oh, hero. Absolute hero. He got Wales to the Euros for the first time in 50-odd years. Not just that, but he got us to the semi-finals as well.
Okay, fine.
All right, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
It just
seems like he's really sort of taking
it. Just seems a bit provocative, which, you know, it's better than a dull footballer.
Well, like, you know what? If I was skiving off work, I wouldn't make such a big song and dance about it.
Yeah.
Like, the thing I was skiving off work to do, I wouldn't then become semi-professional in.
Yeah.
He gets Netflix and masturbating.
Every time he plays golf, there's a photographer there papping him. It's in the newspapers. Oh, here he is playing golf again.
You just wouldn't for a while, would you? You'd be like, you know what? It's like, basically, it's him and Donald Trump shouldn't be playing golf as much as
wear a disguise.
Why doesn't he just buy or create his own golf course as well?
So he's bought a house for his parents in Wales, and he has built 3 golf holes in the garden.
It's not a garden, is it? That's a field.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got 3, like, not a golf course, but 3 holes of a golf course in his garden and space for more. So, yeah.
There you go.
Done it.
Surely he should just, like, buy Celtic Manor or something and just go and play every
day. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There we go. So
that's in Newport and no one wants to buy a house there.
True.
Yeah.
True, true, true.
Sorry, Matt. Someone's at my front door. Give me a second.
Hang on, Amy. This podcast is more important than someone at your door trying to just sell you some double glazing.
Now, normally I'd agree, but I'm expecting my delivery from Beer 52.
What is Beer 52?
You've not heard of Beer 52? Do you like craft beer, Matt?
Who doesn't? I love craft beer.
Well, you need to get involved with Beer 52. It's the world's largest beer club with over 150,000 members, and they deliver a case of hand-picked beer with a different theme every month.
So a case of beers from around the world without having to leave my house, which I currently can't legally do. Amazing.
Exactly. And Sports Virgins listeners can get their first 8 beers completely free, plus a free snack and magazine.
What kind of magazine? I've already got quite a diverse selection of niche magazines.
It's a magazine about beer, Matt.
Ah.
Right, I really need to get this, Matt.
Hang on. What's the catch?
There's fewer catches than David James had on a bad day. All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/sportsvirgins and cover the postage costs of $5.95. And bingo, 8 free beers delivered to your door. And you can pause or cancel at any time.
I'm sure that was a very funny joke, but who is David James?
Don't know, I think he was a cricketer or something like that.
What if I only like light beers? Can I just order those?
Of course you can. Just the finest light or mixed beers from around the world.
Right then, you better answer that door because I'm heading to www.beer52.com/sportsvirgins right now to get mine.
It was someone selling double glazing.
Ah, knew it.
So the next sports story
yes.
is into the world of golf.
This is an area that I do struggle with. Like football, I can really understand how people get passionate about it. And I do when it's England. And I think that's from a sort of, because I think I love the glory. I really understand that. And I can feel that. But golf is something that I cannot get my head around. Like not just playing it a bit, but watching it. How on earth can you find that? I don't get it.
You know what annoys me about golf is my dad plays golf, but my dad watches golf on Sky Sports 9 or something, whatever it's on. But sometimes my mum will be like, oh, let's go for a nice walk. And he's like, I'm not going for a walk. Yet you give him three of his friends and make it 5 a.m. and he's happy to walk miles yeah. on some bloody golf course.
A good walk spoiled is what they say golf is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the story?
So the story is that an American golfer called Bryson DeChambeau,
Great name.
But he's just won his first golf major, which is the US Open, but under quite controversial circumstances. So he was like one of the middle of the road normal golfers, but he's known as the mad scientist. He's very unorthodox. He's a qualified scientist. So he takes a very sort of scientific approach to his golf and literally everything. So he's very different to the rest. He looks different. He plays different. Tactically, he's different. Which is fine, but he was normal. But over the lockdown period, he decided the science experiment, he was going to experiment with his body, and he put on 40 pounds worth of muscle. So he basically changed his body shape into a bit of like a bodybuilder, and he's now stacked, basically. And you would have seen golfers. Golfers aren't the most athletic of sports people.
No.
I mean, they're a lot more athletic these days, but, you know, this guy basically looks like a rugby player in amongst all the golfers. And everyone's like, oh, that's ridiculous. That'll never, you know, help. And the first major tournament, he absolutely thrashed everybody and won the tournament easily.
He's giving golf gains.
So that's what we're going to do. Well, that's what we're going to see now is ripped golfers.
Jacked up golfers. That's it.
Because he's proved that it's right.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, we've all done experiments in lockdown, like putting on 40 pounds of muscle. I did the same. Like, it's really benefited the comedy.
Yeah, I bet.
I walk on stage and everyone's like, well, he is going to really do well at this with his muscles.
Yeah.
But what do you reckon the problem is then? Why is this a problem?
His clothes don't fit anymore. His shirt's too tight.
True. There's a good few pictures of him.
And golfers' clothes are silly anyway, aren't they? They love a wild trouser.
they do.
Other golfers are jealous of how sexy he is?
Well, I think the problem is that he basically hits the ball too far. Which is stupid because the whole goal of golf is to get the ball in the hole in as little shots as possible. So, you know.
So what he's done is he's basically started to play the sport differently to everyone else and they've all gone, it's not fair. That's essentially the problem.
I mean, you know, the other sort of slight nuance here is that golf courses are set up with hazards. Do you know what kind of hazards we were talking about here on a golf course?
Sand,
yeah,
water,
bunkers,
yeah, rough. Lakes,
rabbits.
Rough. And also... Trees is the other one.
Trees.
Generally, you know, you got trees, sand, water. And when they design the courses, they put the hazards in places where people tend to hit the ball to try and make it a bit harder. You know,
okay.
A bit more strategic. Do you go for it? Do you not? Do you take the risk? He's hitting it so far that the hazards are now basically irrelevant. He's smashing over the
just
hazards.
Going straight over.
So, has he got a new style as well? Have you seen Happy Gilmore?
I knew you were going to reference Happy Gilmore.
Is he literally doing a run-up and then whacking it?
There's no run-up, but he's basically smashing it as hard as possible, which a lot of people would say is not going to work because you'll be too erratic.
Yeah.
But no, he's hitting it straight. And
that's amazing. He's
just cutting through the corners they naturally put in golf.
Yeah, yeah. And
see, I just think this is just sour grapes then.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, it seems to me, I don't know, like I said, I don't know that much, but you always hear about golf widows and women complaining, oh, my husband's always at the golf course too much. It seems to take a very long time. So surely this is brilliant because it will cut that time in half. Everyone's going to be happy, right?
I mean, I just want to see him play crazy golf.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just like, you know, with his muscles just taking out a seven-year-old.
They should make that a sport because...
What? Full-size crazy golf?
Yeah, because the obstacles are more fun, aren't they? The obstacles, let's be honest, in golf are a bit basic. Oh, here's a sand pit. I'm not five. Whereas crazy golf, they've got like those giant mouths that open and close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've got like a little... town or something, that's entertaining. So I don't know if they've thought about that.
Little windmill on the golf course.
Exactly.
Well, no, like a windmill on the golf course it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Be a good hazard, actually. Yeah.
I think basically they're upset because he's making golf better.
There's a lot of traditionalists and purists in golf, and I enjoy innovation and progress, so I'm all for it.
I think, I know about sport is that we should be pushing the human body as far as possible. Like, I'm for doping because I want to see how quick we can go. I'm not interested in all this. Well, it's not fair. I want to see, like, the 3-second 100
meters.
So I think with golf like this, everyone's going, well, it's not traditional. It's not how we do things. Let's push and push and push until golf is like, if you don't get a hole in one, you're an idiot.
Yeah, so I don't even know, like when you get a hole in one, I mean, this is how little I know, but so do you have to, how many
It depends.
Pots do you have to get before
it depends,
you get?
It depends what par the golf hole
there
is.
There we go.
So like, if showing off. Basically, I mean, it's one of the few sports I know about because my dad tried to make me into it when I was 10. if your holes are par four, you have to hit it in four shots.
You've lost me on par.
Par is just shots, basically.
Right.
So you have to get it in the hole in four shots. If he takes more, then you're like under par and like you get a bogey and all this.
They've got funny words and like handicaps
and then if you're,
and stuff.
If you hit it like one under par, it's a birdie.
Birdie, yeah.
And then it's an eagle and then an albatross.
Yeah,
Three
That's so silly.
So if you're on a par four hole and you hit it in one, you get an albatross. So you only score 1 point, whereas everyone else might be scoring four. So you just, and golf is all about the least amount of points you can finish in.
Right.
Yeah, bang on.
Oh my God, that was, I mean.
That was quite.
Don't sit too close to me, you might get pregnant. Because I'm feeling pretty manly.
That was pretty sexy.
So to finish up on Bryson, so his nickname was the Mad Scientist.
Yeah.
It's now the Incredible Bulk.
Oh, I like it.
Of course.
Clever.
Genius.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow this guy. This could be the answer to me getting into golf, this guy.
Like, is he a looker?
Not really, but you know, he's pretty jacked. So yeah, have a look at
him. But is he too jacked? Because there is a fine line, isn't there? Between that's nice, isn't there?
There's some photos of him.
Oh gosh, he's not got a neck, has he?
He's got a nice little flat cap as well.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, he does look like a thumb, but apart from that, where he's bulked out his neck so much.
Yeah. So interesting you mentioned doping. So we'll go on to the next news story, is that the Tour de France just finished this week.
Yeah.
So tell me you know what sport Tour de France is.
Oh, yes. I didn't know it was on, though. Yeah. I mean, I know what it is, but I didn't know.
We don't have access to it anymore.
What do you mean?
Nothing to do with us now.
So go on then, tell me about Tour de France.
They go on a big bike round around France.
Oh, they ride loads of bikes around and... Even if you cross the line first, you might not be the person that's won. It's all very... I don't understand how
it works. Is
that
right?
Yeah, because it's all done in stages. And sometimes they do a stage in Yorkshire and no one knows why. They just come here for a bit.
That was a bit random.
Okay.
It's days, isn't it? It's days and days it lasts. Like a couple of weeks,
like
maybe?
Nearly a month, yeah.
Oh, a month.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I should just realise how little I do know. But so where does it start? I mean, is there a...
France.
Generally, it's all in France. There have been a couple of anomalies where they've been in Yorkshire and things a couple of times. Don't know why, but that's just a bit random.
Just mixing it up a bit? Because I've been somewhere where I think it came to Nottingham once.
Right.
Years ago. Because I'm sure I stood on
the Tour de Britain, did they call it that? Or Tour of Britain, probably.
Maybe
Tour the England.
Tour of Britain. All I remember is Bradley Wiggins rode past me.
Did he?
Yeah. Okay. So,
Are you sure it was? Because, I mean, he's from not that far from there. Maybe he was just out going to
maybe.
The shop.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe it was just one of those bell ends that wears all the gear.
Yeah, could be.
Might have been someone on the way to the office.
Well, either way, I waved at him. So it was a lovely day.
Did you cheer him on? So basically, it's 21 days, actually. And there's 35 cities in France. And it's a tad hilly. So they go through the Alps and the Pyrenees.
Yep.
And... basically, it's like cycling from London to Birmingham every single day up mental hills back to back.
Horrible. So I signed up to a charity cycle ride, which was 500 kilometers across a part of America, Yosemite to San Francisco. Wow. And I was well excited because I loved the idea of being in Yosemite in San Francisco and seeing the landscape. And I just thought, I can ride a bike. I like riding a bike. It's fine. Bought a bike, all the gear, no idea. Got on it. Went on a cycle ride with my boyfriend who I was doing it with. And within 20 minutes, I was actually in tears on a hill because I was like, I cannot believe how hard this is. It was so brutal. Yeah. And so on the actual bike ride, it was okay, but the training was just, you'll get the bug. Yeah, I did it, but it was hard, but I did not get the bug. I literally just sold my bike, actually. It was in my shed. But I know people get obsessed with it, but again, I'm like, I just don't.
My girlfriend's dad loves, like, he did the one you do in London, you know, you go through the Surrey Hills.
The Ride 100.
I couldn't think of anything worse. I thought it's just a bit stressful cycling because there's cars and things normally. I don't imagine there is on the Tour de France so much.
Well, there isn't, but the crowd, if you've seen any of the videos of the finishing stages, the crowds are just insane. They're just in your face and they just get in the way. But there's not normal cars. There's not traffic or anything.
Fair enough. Yeah, it just seems a bit long. But Lance Armstrong, like they do love a bit of drugs, don't they, in that sport? I might know what this story is, actually, of all of these. I don't know anything else. Is this where, because they're saying that Bradley Wiggins was probably doing it.
Well, no, there's a bit of controversy around it. Yeah, okay. There was a Jiffy bag and nobody knows what was in the Jiffy bag. And
this was the current one that's just ended.
Oh, no, this was, God, in the last 5 to 10 years, I thought. Yeah.
Okay. But it's all come out recently.
But the Brits have dominated the Tour de France for the last, I don't know, 6 years or so. Okay. And the French are like, nah, not having that. Cheating. So there's accusations left, right, and centre. And to be fair, the sport hasn't got the best track record.
So no, it's really bad, isn't it?
Really bad. I mean, you know, they're all clean, so everyone thinks now, but everyone thought that Lance Armstrong was clean as well for many years.
Well, that was the thing with him, because I used to be really into Lance Armstrong before, you know, realised what was going on. But
I mean, why were you into him if you weren't into cycling in any way?
Because it was an inspirational story.
Because
he had like brain cancer and he fought back and then he won all these Tour de France's. Like, so I got really invested in Lance Armstrong.
It's an incredible story.
But then I also felt when it all happened and it all came out, it's like, well, yes, he was doing it, but then everyone else was. How do they regulate? Like, are they not even at a stage where they've sorted that out?
They get tested a lot, but they were always one step ahead of the testing.
Yeah.
Onto the next drug.
Yeah, exactly. Onto the new sort of technique.
Well, because I think the problem is you go, I think you probably go into the sport going, I'm never going to dope. And then everyone else is doing it. So you're like, well, if I even want to try and compete, I just need to do it to be on the same level as my competitors.
I mean, look, I'd like to think that it's all clean now, but there's so many grey areas. So you get these things like TUEs or TUs, therapeutic use exemptions. So basically, if you have asthma, you're allowed to take medication for the asthma, which happens to be performance enhancing. But you're taking it because you've got asthma. If you've got hay fever, you're allowed to take certain products that are on the banned list because it treats your hay fever. Now, lo and behold, every single cyclist, they've all got asthma, they've all got hay fever.
It's just about finding a doctor that will sign it off.
Yeah, and it's all about the marginal gains and, you know, bending the legality. So it's all grey, but they're all doing it. So I like to think there's nothing more sinister than that, especially as the Brits have been dominating, like Chris Froome, Geraint Thomas, and obviously Bradley Wiggins.
Yeah.
But it seems like a stressful sport to be on top of that. It's like, oh, I really want to be good at this, but I'm going to have to cheat a little bit. You know, what have I got to take this week?
One of my favourite things I've ever seen in sport, a couple of years ago, there was a skier who was arrested in an anti-doping scandal and they walked into his hotel room as he was having a blood transfusion. Like they walked in, like it was all being filmed, like this kind of bust. And by the police. And he was literally on the bed.
Did he try and deny it?
Yeah, I think he did. And they're like, we've caught you like literally red-handed. Like, you know, there's...
It's not what you think.
Yeah. Oh, it was... You're just borrowing this blood for a bit. But once again, it's like something that is doping because it gives you an extra increase of oxygen in your blood. Mm. So it's not always like they're taking drugs for it. There's loads of weird things they can do. It's actually quite interesting, the doping thing. Like, I think, once again, let's just push it. How fast can we go?
Yeah.
Do you think if they just opened it up and went, do you know what? Take what you want and let's see who is the fastest.
If you unban everything, surely that's the same as banning loads of stuff because everyone's going to do their
own. It's all fair game.
It's more fair.
It's all money, sponsorship and all that stuff, isn't it? Of the Olympics going on.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Well, you can't really have the Tour de France this year brought to you by cocaine. brought to you by a lot of cocaine.
Right? Yeah.
The Colombian Tourist Board.
So
it's now taking 3 days. And they've all stopped halfway through to discuss what businesses they're going to set up with each other and talk about their achievements.
So clearly you know a little bit about Tour de France. So what about the different colour jerseys they have. Do you know anything about that at all?
I know Lance had the yellow ones when he won.
Team Sky. Yeah. That was Sky, wasn't it? Who I always thought were associated with the TV people, but that's probably not true.
No, they were. They were.
Oh my God, amazing.
By Sky, yeah. Team Sky was the British team. It was sponsored by Sky. They're called Team Ineos now,
right,
which is something else. But whoever's leading wears the yellow jersey, hence why you think Lance Armstrong was wearing yellow, but that's not his colour. Whoever's leading that race and that day wears the yellow jersey.
So you can change jerseys per
day?
Yeah,
so you don't wear your kit that day, you wear the yellow jersey because you're in the lead.
Oh.
But there's also the green jersey and the polka dot jersey, so the red and white spots.
Oh.
So... any guesses?
Red and white.
Polka dot sounds like an embarrassment, especially for French people who are very fashion conscious.
If you fell off a lot the day before.
Yeah.
Slow it's like coach. The dunce cap. It's like you're in the polka dots, you idiot.
How can you even wear that? You know?
Yeah.
So the polka dot is king of the mountains. So you have a lot of hills in the Tour de France, and you have certain stages where it finishes on a hill, and whoever wins the hilly sort of stages wears the king of the mountains.
For the rest of the run?
No, until the next... hill.
Okay. Until the next hill.
Yeah.
It sounds relentless. And also, it's one of the few sports where, because there's stages, like you could be smashing it for a day and then have a terrible day the next day.
It sort of changes so much.
But you know what? I think it's kind of cute. It's a bit like in school, like if you get a gold star when you're somewhere, it's like, here's your yellow jersey, here's your polka dot one. It's really sweet.
Is it more for the other riders to go, that's the guy I need, that's my reference point? Or is it just, well done you?
I'm not quite sure what the sort of original.
What was the other, the green jersey?
Green jersey was the sprinters, whoever's the fastest sprinter, because some of the stages, they'll have a sprint finish where the guys who are in the running for the overall title, they don't want to get involved in that nonsense because you could fall and crash and hurt yourself and all that stuff. So they get to maybe like a kilometer from the end and then they sit back. And then the sprinters literally go for it to try and win a stage. And then, but they're not very good up the hills and stuff. So they won't do the next day or something.
Okay.
So they're never in a chance of winning the overall thing. But the sprinters will try and win a stage, so then they can wear their green jersey.
And, I mean, because the crashes are pretty bad, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's so many how many cyclists are there in the Tour de France?
Well, there are, let's have a look here. There is 22 teams of eight. Who's good at maths?
Absolutely not.
160. Oh, no, 160 I was going to go for. Wow, that was 160, bad.
160, is it?
100, well, 22, 10? So 10 teams of eight would be 80.
Oh, yeah,
22,
that's
160,
right, yeah.
So 160, yeah, 176.
Wow.
So they're in teams of eight and they group together and they sort of slipstream a lot. So they basically protect the main rider. So every team will have a main rider. So like Bradley Wiggins, when he won, he was the main rider. So do you know the whole slipstreaming thing with cycling?
I have heard this actually, and I always thought it was a little bit unfair. It's basically, is it like if your teammate's doing really well, do you go behind? No.
Yeah, so the main guy will basically cycle behind the other team. So the other teams will protect him. For the wind, basically, so that he's using less energy.
Oh, so then he can then go and take the wind.
Yeah, and then towards the end, they will go out to the side because they're knackered because they've been cycling into this wind the whole time. Mm. And then that guy will bomb it up the hills and will win. So that's why that main guy, so they'll protect him for the... like 75%.
It's a bit like Talladega Nights, you know, with Ricky Bobby and John C. Reilly. He always did that for him, didn't he? Yeah.
But do you ever think they just feel a bit pissed off? Like, oh, he's getting all the glory, I'm doing all the work.
No, they must get their turn eventually. Like Bradley Wiggins wasn't in the main rider and then eventually became it.
Yeah, so you could have earned your stripes over the years.
Oh, okay, got you. I was going to, do any of them ever just go, I'm not going to move aside, I'm just going to go to the end?
Yeah, it has happened.
Do they?
So this is when Geraint Thomas won. So he was like the support rider for Chris Froome, but then decided one day, sod this, I'm going for it, and was better than Froome and beat him. And it was a big no-no. It was like, oh, we shouldn't have done that.
Like the etiquette, that was all.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
But do you think, like, beef. Like with the golf, do you think, just go for it? Like,
not many people do, but some people do, yeah.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, but then, because they do it in Formula One as well, don't they, sometimes?
Exactly, they do,
and
yeah.
I do sometimes think, yeah. Oh, that must be hard to being the one to hold back.
I think... I need more drama in sport. Like I want more confrontation.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that's borderline reality show stuff, isn't it? So that would really drag me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Drag me in if afterwards they did like sort of like Geordie Shore-esque interviews being like, well, and then I just thought I'm gonna screw him over.
that's what I want.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah.
So that's the Tour de France done.
Okay.
So we'll know everything about cycling.
I've learned a lot in that.
Yeah, there we go.
That feels more like a sport I could get behind just because it's got loads of different stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would be if it didn't have bikes in it, but the rest of it, the shirt swapping, I love. Really into.
And the lycra, the skin tight lycra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
oh, I get to wear yellow today.
I just like the polka dots. It sounds cracking.
Yeah. Right, we'll go on to the next news story. Okay. So back to football.
Yes.
So there was a match between Chelsea and Tottenham Hotspur, so Spurs again,
yeah.
In the week. And Eric Dier, who plays for England and plays for Spurs, they were 1-0 down, Spurs, and there's 15 minutes to go. Dier legs it off the pitch, no substitutions left. He ran off the pitch, ran down the tunnel because he needed a number two. And Jose Mourinho, who's the manager, I'm sure you know who he yeah. is, he chased after him, saying, what the hell are you doing? And told him to hurry the hell up.
Yeah.
And then he came back out. But thankfully, they didn't score a goal whilst they were down to 10 men. But yeah.
So, he just left the game. I mean, pull a Paul Radcliffe and at least just do it.
I don't know. I'll never forget that. I mean, fair play, she has to do it, but that...
Sort of ruined her career, didn't it, a bit? Like, it ruined her, like, standing with the public. She did do a shit in the street. Like, there's no way around that.
In front of other people. Not like Saturday night.
In front of millions. In front of millions of people. Like, yeah, we've all done a shit in the street in London.
It's especially it was being filmed and photo. That's a wolf, isn't it?
But there's a cracking YouTube video. And I mean, this stuff is made for YouTube. Let's see what it's called.
I don't know if I want to see this.
It's called 10 Athletes That Poop Their Pants During Competition.
Oh, no. Fabulous. I'm not into that. No way.
Fabulous.
Well worth a watch.
So, I mean, if I was him and I'd done that, you'd at least... I'd try and lie and just say, oh, I don't know, I thought I'd left the oven on and just need to call someone or something. Like, to actually say, oh, I had to go and do a plot.
Was he not feeling very well, or was it just like badly timed?
I just think he had the shits, and I think
Nothing you can do.
Mourinho wasn't sure if it was a number one or number two. So,
and we've never got to the bottom of it.
Afterwards, they did. Yeah.
Oh, afterwards, yeah. They did.
Did he manage to use the toilet at least?
Yeah, he did. He went. Yeah, he was pretty quick.
Did he wash his hands?
But I mean,
probably not. Actually,
yeah. I would find that difficult because, like, for me, a number two, that's like some prime phone time.
Yeah. You want a magazine?
Yeah,
I'm
buckling down for 20 minutes when I'm in there.
So picture it. You're having a number two.
Rather not.
You're on your phone.
I'm on my phone.
And Jose Mourinho's outside saying, hurry up,
hurry up. And I'm like, oh, do you want to know the score? I can find out for you, mate.
I think it was quite risky for Mourinho because, you know, with the whole peer pressure, if he was having a number one, for example, like, it's not that helpful if someone's like looking over your shoulder saying, come on, hurry up, hurry up.
Yeah.
I can't go.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. Like, it encourages me. Someone's there, yeah. Especially Jose Mourinho, actually.
Yeah.
Really.
You get your girlfriend
really
to do. Come on.
I make them do the accent and everything. Yeah. Like, really gets my bowels going. Well, I guess if you have to go, like, it would have been worse if he'd shit himself on the pitch.
Yeah, that's what you've got to think of now. Like, everything is documented and filmed.
So yeah, it's not like doing it in the
50s. You can't take a risk.
So somebody, an extremely well-known player at the time, now probably the biggest broadcaster on BBC. Highest paid person on BBC, I would hazard a guess.
Oh, Claudia Winkleman. No.
Yeah, she did a shit during a football match. No.
For Leicester.
So, Italia 90, Football World Cup, Gary Lineker, on the pitch, did a cheeky little shit.
No, he didn't.
And then, basically, there's a video for it. He did.
No, he didn't.
He did, in his pants. And then he basically sat down. Bear in mind, there's not loads of cameras, but there is footage of this. He basically pulls his pants to the side, and basically does a doggy arse wipe on the pitch.
No, he doesn't. A scoot. They're called a scoot. My dog Peggy Sue does them.
Yeah.
He does the arse
Peggy Sue on the pitch.
Surely you didn't need to do the scoot.
The thing is, look at that. In the 90s, anything.
Right, I'm going to
find it. That'd ruin a career now. You'd be the highest paid person on the BBC.
I know.
What we'll do,
also, how
we'll
I
put
not
the video
this?
Of this on the episode description so that listeners can actually see it.
I don't know whether I should see this.
All those crisps.
Gary Lineker's a bit pure. You know, I'm a Leicester girl born and bred, so he's like he's a treasure.
Look, mate, I've been a night out in Leicester. Like, everyone's doing the scoot on the floor. 3 a.m.
Matt,
okay, here we go.
I'm not a scooter.
All right, mate. Whatever. Right. You say. I find that
I'm gonna put the volume on here.
Oh.
Oh, he did a sit down. Where's it gone though? Is it on the pitch?
Just wipes it into the pitch.
I've got to say though, for techers, that's incredible. Because
I mean, I'm sure it's not like a curly log. I'm sure it's a bit like runny and horrible.
How was he down on the floor? Did he sit on the floor? Or did he do a fake fall over?
No, he tackled someone, fell on the floor, and then whilst he was down there, like jiggled around a bit.
How did anyone ever find that out? Because you would never look at that.
Has he spoken about it?
Yeah. So when Eric Dier did that, he tweeted saying, you know, oh, what's the world coming to? Footballers can't even take a shit in the pitch anymore.
Nice.
The thing is, that's made me worried now, because whenever you see boys playing football in the park,
yeah,
you'd be like, they'd be like, oh, sorry, mum, I stood in dog poo. And you're like, oh, did no. you, or was it Gary Lineker?
Yeah, this is
Gary Lineker down the playing field.
Unearthed a lot of questions that I didn't want to.
So he actually did the respectful thing by going off and using the toilet. But yeah. Were they winning anyway?
No, they were losing.
Well, then I'd have just been like, well, why not?
And they had no subs left, so I guess you went for it, yeah.
And did they lose the game?
They drew 1-1, actually.
Oh, right. Well, there you go.
There you go. No, didn't lose anything then.
Didn't lose.
Apart from his dignity.
He also got man of the match.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, surely someone's doing that for lols, right?
I mean, you've got to question your playing. If you're playing on his team and the person who left to have a shit gets man of the match, you need to look at yourself.
Yeah. All right, we're back on track. Right, next story is, you will never believe this, but there's rumours that there's two Hollywood actors looking to buy a Welsh football team.
Okay, I know about
Wrexham FC.
Yeah.
Wrexham, I mean, Wrexham FC sounds like the kind of football team you'd make a sitcom about. They don't sound good.
No, they're not the best. They're not even in the Football League, actually.
Okay.
So they're in like the fifth tier, which back in my day was known as the Vauxhall Conference, but it's now known as the Vanarama National League.
The Vanarama National League.
That
sounds like a racist group, doesn't it? The Vanarama National League sounds like a load of men with shaved heads walking around trying to protect a Winston Churchill statue.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a come down in sponsors, but yeah.
What is Vanarama? Is that a website where you hire vans?
That's what I actually think it is.
Vanarama sounds like something that would sponsor Virgin Radio. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like,
probably has.
It'd be like Selco and then Vanarama.
Yeah. But we're not just talking about any Hollywood actors here as well. We're talking A-listers. So Ryan Reynolds and Rob, how do you say his name? McElhenney. Is that how you say it?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
I'm glad you brought this, because I knew about Ryan Reynolds, but I have a lot of questions because I feel like are we any the wiser why this is happening or?
No, actually, no. It's just a rumour. I'm not sure it's going to happen. Bit of publicity. He's done a lot of, like, he's got his own gin brand out. He's
Aviation
doing a lot of,
gin.
He's doing a lot of, like, different things.
But what's that got to do with Wrexham FC?
I don't know. I guess he's...
Is it a status thing to buy to be like, I've got a European sports team? And in America, like, because people don't know. He's like, oh, I own a football team in Europe. I own a soccer team. And everyone's like, that's amazing. Even though it's like, you know, three men in one stand.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically £50 and pie and chips is yours. All done. I don't know. I don't know why.
It's going to be a tax thing. I'm saying that now. It's going to be a tax thing.
It could be, couldn't it? Yeah, buy a football club and then we can offset.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy Carr interviewed Ryan Reynolds and was just like, I've got some tips for you, mate.
Wrexham, they're going to be big. Yeah, a couple of years, they'll be in the Premier League.
Yeah. Just go.
All right. I'm in.
How weird. What an unusual.
Yeah, so random. There's been a lot of other very well-known sort of celebs and actors, musicians who are owning some sports franchises and teams.
Yeah.
So I'll read some of them off. You got some glamorous ones. The NBA ones are the ones you want, really. Do you know NBA basketball?
Yes.
Ones, right?
Yeah.
So you got people like Usher, Timberlake, Drake, Jay-Z. They all either own or part own an NBA team or
that's
franchise.
Cool.
And good ones.
Yeah, good ones. Yeah. So Drake's team, the Toronto Raptors, they won the World Series last year.
Oh, wow.
And amazing. That means you must always get front row seats.
Oh,
well.
He's always
a plus.
Yeah. Okay. So then you've got people like J-Lo and Fergie. So they part own the Miami Dolphins.
Do
Fergie NFL.
Fergie from Black Eyed Peas, not Sarah Ferguson.
Yeah.
What a curveball that would be.
Now, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? J-Lo and Sarah Ferguson.
Like, but how much of it do they co-own? Like, a good chunk or like a...
A decent chunk, okay, yeah. A decent chunk, yeah. You know, in their, like, consortiums, but they're the head, you know, the headline, so
wow.
Miami Dolphins, that's NFL.
I didn't know that about J-Lo, interesting.
Then you've got Delia Smith.
Oh, so I know about it. Norwich.
Norwich City.
Go on, Delia. She loves it.
Well, the only reason I know that is because the Who Wants Some.
Yeah.
That viral.
What did she say? Was it... Let's be Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh, where are... Yeah, she's... Yeah. Go on, Delia. Yeah.
Elton John.
Oh, wow.
Is it West Ham or... No.
Close. Because of the W. Watford.
Almost.
Premier League, London-based.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was... Okay.
Does he own that outright?
I don't know outright.
Because he's got loads of cash.
Like, back in the, I think it was 80s, when Watford were proper top tier. Like, you know, they're in the Premier League now, just been relegated. But they're up there. And back in the 80s, they were a serious team. And yeah, he either bought them or owned them. But yeah,
is it a good investment? I mean, obviously, if you've got a Man United or something like that. But if you've got a bit of a, like... what's the below Premier League, like, Division 1?
Championship.
Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it a good investment?
Yeah, I say so. Like, from a Premier League perspective, but it's a passion point though for these people.
Okay.
It's more about money. It's probably a bit of a tax write-off.
Yeah, like Elton John is from Pinner, yeah. So that's
he doesn't really need to do it. Like, it's a passion thing for him. He supports. Okay.
If you break even on it, it's like you're just supporting your team you've always supported.
But you're not doing it for a profit though.
Yeah, and you probably get a box, right?
And, yeah, exactly, and you can write, and I'm sure there's some sort of like write-off about it, and you know.
I feel like that. For celebrities as well, they get to a stage they've got so much money, it's just a cool thing to say, I own a sports club, like you say. It's
So someone like Russell Crowe, for example, he owns one of the Australian rugby league teams. Rugby league is the biggest sport in Australia. He owns one of those teams. They were a bit shit, and he put a lot of money into it. He signed quite a few English superstars, actually, Sam Burgess and his brothers. Signed them, was a big story. And then it was a classic rags to riches story. They won the sort of grand final a good few years ago now. But
that's cool.
Yeah, so Russell Crowe owns that. And also Louis Tomlinson owns...
Doncaster
Rovers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only reason I know that is because my girlfriend's from Doncaster and she's always going on about it. She grew up on the same road as Louis Tomlinson and she doesn't. I grew up on his road. I'm like, I know, mate, but like, I've never been to... I wouldn't go to Doncaster, wouldn't dare. I imagine it's one dirt track road through the middle of it.
So we still don't really know the Ryan Reynolds thing, but maybe as that story develops, we can revisit that.
That'd be interesting to know. I would just want to know the motivation behind why football. Like, what is it if he's interested in it? Because I know a lot of Americans are.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Americans do like English football teams. Why specifically that one? And, you know, what's in it for him? Because the gin, I kind of understand. Because, you know, George Clooney sold his tequila brand for $1 billion.
Yeah.
A few older guys own, like, vodka brands and stuff in American movie stars. Who's the guy from Ghostbusters? He owns a really good vodka brand. The one, the skull bottles.
Oh, right.
Oh, I don't know.
One of them, he owns a huge... So I understand
Bill Murray?
No, not Bill Murray. One of the other ones.
Ghost.
The ghost. Slimer.
Slimer.
Yeah, he owns a vodka brand. So I get it, but I mean, if it's an... It doesn't sound like he's going to put money into it and get money back.
You never know. He might have a strategy. We'll come back to this in a few weeks' time. Time will tell.
I just love the idea of Ryan Reynolds going to Wrexham.
So do I.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, like, that's the kind of thing that you and I would have done, like, a really bad DJ gig there.
But like, he's basically owning it.
Yeah. I imagine with Wrexham as well. I've been to Wrexham a couple of times. They'll probably throw in the town. Like, we can be mayor as well, Ryan, if you'd like. Like,
oh, that would be...
To sweeten the deal.
They should do that.
that's the news covered. Hopefully you learned something in the news.
I've heard a lot. I've learned a lot about a lot of different things. Also, I've been pleasantly surprised at the few little bits I knew.
Your boxing knowledge, really, you really shone there.
And I think actually more than anything, my golf scoring knowledge.
Oh, that was something. Yeah.
I was very, very excited about.
Well done.
That was buried in there somewhere.
We're making progress.
Well, so the hope is, as well as discussing the news, that you two are actually going to learn something about sport.
Yes.
Outside of the news. So each episode, we're going to go through like a specific sporting lingo or terminology or like a sporting thing. And the one we're going to talk about this week is called the bicycle kick.
Yes.
So
the bicycle kick.
Yeah, I know of that.
Do you know what the bicycle kick is? Do you know what sport it is?
I am going to go and I'm going to say you're going to trick us and it's not about cycling.
Football.
It's football,
yeah. Oh, well, hello. Someone's just got a point.
What? Okay, and what?
I think I know this. I think I know what it is.
Is it because
it's when you go to, is it when you go to score a goal and you're like, someone did it, and I was like, oh my god, and they just go up in the air and the legs go up in the air.
What, they like kick it over,
kick
their
it
head.
In the net. Well,
give us a demo.
I don't think that's good. That would be.
I wish you were here.
I've
to have
watched
seen that.
It and gone, I don't know how you do how they do that physically. That's quite. It's quite brave, right?
Is oh, it
that
is. Right? Yeah. So it's you are right. It's also known as a scissors kick.
Okay. Yeah, I know what that is.
So scissors, kind of meaning that, you know, you have your non-kicking leg go up first, and then that comes down as your kicking leg goes up. So you're kind of like doing the scissors motion.
Yeah. Okay.
Legs. I guess that's why it's called a bicycle kick as well, because it's kind of, shouldn't be called a bicycle kick.
Yeah.
I don't really see the link between.
No.
I mean, legs going up and down, maybe, but.
Yeah.
Just confusing.
But it's very impressive. But is that really, have you attempted a bicycle kick?
I probably have down the park now and again, and I can't say it's connected.
Those that like 9 times out of 10 lads will do it to sort of show up, but it won't
yeah.
land, right?
I mean, look, so I've got a couple of videos to show you.
Lovely.
So this is a video about some of the best bicycle kicks. Who's first?
Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale.
Weirdly, he's doing it on a golf course in this video.
So this was the Champions League final.
Ooh.
That's really nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like, he's in midair. Like, there's nothing on the ground when he's kicking.
That's worth 600 grand a week, isn't it?
What lovely hair as well.
Oh, Champions I hope they clean that pitch. Was. Gary Lineker.
Here we go as well.
Oh, sexy. Oh, wow. Ronaldo, yeah. Like, is it really embarrassing if you're one of the top players? Oh, wow.
Off the chest, I mean.
Because they're not even looking at the net. So is it just always a guess?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Rooney did a really good one.
Wayne Rooney.
Correct. Yeah, well
okay,
done.
Yeah, just well done. Husband
Colleen's,
of the,
Colleen's husband.
Yeah, husband of the investigative journalist.
Back to that.
Bosh.
I've got another video of the worst ones.
Okay, brilliant. This is what I'm at,
This is the beauty of the bicycle kick, because when it's done correctly, it's a thing of beauty. It's a hugely difficult, complex skill. It's risky, like you said. It can hurt if it goes wrong, but it can be humiliating if it goes wrong as well. So every football supporter prefers it when it goes wrong.
Okay.
Of course. That's
so let's see a couple of these.
That's a very British thing, isn't it?
It's like, oh,
yeah.
This is going to... Oh, no, they're laughing. Wayne Rooney's laughing at him. Oh, my God, that's so brutal. Oh, no. But it was shit, so...
Oh!
I mean, if you land on your head...
It looks like you could really hurt yourself.
Doesn't it? It's quite... It is risky, but you're right, the humiliation.
Oof.
I can't believe the other footballers are laughing on the bench. That's just... He's going the wrong way. He was doing it. He was facing the net. How is that ever going to work?
Oh. So yeah, that is the bicycle kick. So it's also known as the overhead kick. Now that's a much sort of more
absolutely
that makes more,
isn't
sense.
It?
Well, they like to give things funny names, don't they? Like golf. What were they talking about?
The bogeys.
Bogeys. What is it? I still don't know. What a
bogey is when you go one over par, and then you have a double bogey and a triple bogey, and then I don't know what a quadruple bogey's got.
See, that's the thing. They got creative with the under pars. Birdie, eagle, albatross. They obviously gave up with the bogeys. I'll just call it double bogey.
Yeah, yeah.
Triple
bogey. But is a bogey something different in any other country other than Britain where it's not?
Probably. Yeah, a bogey is like, in American, like, fighter pilots, if there's an enemy plane, they're like, bogey ahead.
Right, okay.
That's why.
But also, or like a booby prize. Is that not a thing?
A booby prize is, but...
Yeah.
But maybe, like, the logic should have been with bogeys. They should have been like, it should have gone, like, through grosser bodily fluids, and they were just like, it's just too far.
Yeah.
They've gone for bogey, like, not. What are you going for? Yeah, it's not.
So, yeah, so that's the bicycle kick. So we'll learn a new sort of move, term, lingo as the weeks progress.
And then we can start dropping them into conversation with other people. They're like, these two really know their stuff.
They're so into their bogeys.
Exactly. So we can't do bogey anymore because that's covered. Right?
We've sorted it, mate. Yeah. Absolutely smashed it.
Okay, yeah,
so,
yeah, I'm really pumped.
So we've got 10 questions. Mm-hmm. And then, so you guys write down the answers and then we'll go through the answers at the end, yeah?
I'm ready.
Now, these questions... They should be extremely easy to anybody who knows this sport.
Okay.
Okay. Like really like child level easy.
I think so. So bit of an experiment this. You know, we'll see how you guys get on.
Yeah.
Might be too easy. Might not be. Who knows? So question number one is, who scored a goal for England as an 18-year-old in France 98, the Football World Cup? Question number two, what sporting event takes place at Aintree? Question number three, what sport does LeBron James play? Question number four. What sport is the Davis Cup played in? Question number five. Wayne Rooney signed for Man United as an 18-year-old from which club?
Oh, I think I know
Question number six. What nationality is Roger Federer?
Ooh.
Question number seven. I think, Amy, this is going to be a cheeky one for you. Which team in rugby are known as the Tigers?
Aww.
Number eight. Name one person that played in the 1966 Football World Cup final.
And leap at Roger Moore, but that's a James Bond.
Okay. Question number nine. Where is Anfield? And in terms of specifics, we're looking at a city here.
Okay, not an address.
Last question. Who is Glenn Hoddle?
A man.
Does the church fate, doesn't he, Glenn Hoddle? That's what he sounds like.
I think you need to be vaguely specific on this as well.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay,
so, should we do the answers?
Yeah, so question number one. Who scored a goal for England as an 18-year-old in France 98, the Football World Cup?
Michael Owen.
I put David Beckham.
Answer is Michael Owen.
Yes!
1-0 Amy.
I was really into football at that time.
Okay, yeah, we'll do the scores at the end.
Okay.
So, question number two. What sporting event takes place at Aintree?
Horse racing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking for something a bit more specific.
Oh.
Horse racing's fine.
Okay, fine.
What would have been specific?
The Grand National.
The Grand National.
Okay,
oh.
Horses. I've been to the Grand National there, but I didn't know what it was called.
Oh. Give you that one.
I was
drunk.
So drunk. Yeah. That's the point. I'm wearing a lovely hat.
Yeah, we'll give you that one. What sport does LeBron James play?
Basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball. Tick.
Ooh.
Question number four. What sport is the Davis Cup played in?
Golf.
Yeah.
Was my guess.
Tennis.
Oh my gosh. I was quite confident
question
on that.
Five. Wayne Rooney signed for Man United from which club?
Liverpool.
Everton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well done, Amy.
I mean, it is in my defence, then very close to each other.
Yeah,
it's
a good guess.
Okay, number six. Which nationality is Roger Federer?
Swiss.
Spanish.
Swiss.
No,
well done,
that's
Matt.
A curveball. He's so hairy. I thought he was Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the criteria.
He'd be hairy everywhere. That's such a...
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, not just because he's hairy, but I swear he's...
So Nadal is Spanish.
So
Nadal is Spanish. He was like the other one who's been competing with Federer.
I thought he was Portuguese, Nadal.
I mean...
Sorry.
Leave that one for another quiz.
Yeah. I'm just trying to earn a point back.
Okay, where were we? Question number seven. Which team in rugby are known as the Tigers?
Leicester,
yeah. Should have.
No. You shouldn't have said about Amy finding that easy. That gave it away.
I gave it away to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. Okay, number eight. Name one person that played in the...
I was going to say Roger Moore, but you know what? I questioned myself. Timothy Dalton. George Best. I put George Best.
That's a good guess. It's a good guess, Amy.
Bobby Moore.
Bobby Moore is correct. George Best. Now, if Northern Ireland got to the... He would have played if Northern Ireland got the World Cup final.
Cool.
To be fair.
I mean, I was better off putting Roger Moore. Like, they'd have been the same nationality at least.
He would have had
more chance.
More chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, number nine. Where is Anfield?
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool, correct. Mm. Number 10, who is Glenn Hoddle?
Former England manager.
Commentator.
Well, I guess you're both right.
Oh.
Yeah, you're both right there. Really.
What's the specific?
Yeah.
What's he do
well,
now?
I thought if you just said, like, you know, footballer, I was hoping for a bit more specific. Yeah. He was England manager.
Yeah.
And he's now a commentator. I think we'll give you both a point for that.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
I got 6 out of 10.
I got 8.
So that was quite, for the first one ever, it's a good place.
We should probably write these down and see if we can do a bit of a leaderboard.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know.
I think the questions should get a bit harder. I wasn't quite sure.
No, it's a good place to see where our skill level is at to begin with.
Great entry level, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I actually, I'm still that Roger Federer, I'm not sure. I'm going to check.
I mean, you're absolutely...
Are you questioning?
How did you know that?
Is this a steward's inquiry?
That's just a real curveball for me.
Really boringly, I used to do something at Wimbledon every year, a job, so that's just one of the things. I used to go and do like a cushy little corporate thing at Wimbledon, so that's the only reason I know.
Okay,
it's because I've hosted a quiz about this before to a load of millionaires.
Okay.
So there we go, that's the quiz. Maybe we need like a cool little name for the quiz and a bit of a, you know, a bit of a jingle.
Quiz-a-caboosie.
Is a great name for a sports quiz.
My goodness me, where did that come from?
I feel like I might have used that in a quiz before, but quiz, I could put, I'm sure there's others as well.
Okay,
that quiz hoy. So quiz hoy.
Yeah.
Any Chris's basically.
Any yeah. Chris. Yeah. It's a really easy pun, actually.
Yeah.
Chris Ackerby. Well,
maybe that can be some homework, or maybe we can get some of the listeners to send in some.
Absolutely, that's a good idea. There I think they'll know.
Okay, amazing. Well, I learned a lot from that, actually.
I mean, I learned loads.
If I'm honest, I learned one that I know less than I thought I did, if I'm honest.
I'll tell you what I learned is that I didn't hate talking about sport for that whole time.
Yeah, that's really
I thought
true.
I'd be like, well, I'm not interested in any of these stories. But actually, it was all very interesting. I wanted to know more.
And there's a lot that goes on outside the actual sport.
In.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. You're committed now. You're
I am. I'm into sport. People ask me now, they're like, you into sport? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm into
You'd
sport.
You'd be like, hey, you know that footballer who went and took a dump during... Yeah, you're never going to forget that. Yeah, yeah.
You know that Spanish tennis player?
Yeah, he's not. He's Swiss.
I'm really not into Swiss. Sport, but there are 6 specific things I can talk about.
Yeah.
That's it. If we go out of that, then there's nothing we can say to each other.
Exactly. Well, thank you for joining us on Sports Virgins. We're learning, aren't we?
I don't think we're like sports virgins anymore because we've done this now. I feel like we're at sports second base.
So if you want to send in any stories of sporting stupidity or ignorance or anything, I mean, like we've shown, you know, quite bravely, I think, Matt, shown ourselves up here.
Yeah, we really have. Where we stand. I think I've suffered in silence. Like when I used to, the worst one was when you'd get a new girlfriend when you're a teenager, and then you'd have to go to their house knowing full well the first question the dad's going to ask you is, what team do you support?
Yeah.
And you have to go, well, none of them. And the dad is like, well, my girlfriend's going
get out.
A serial killer, probably. Yeah. Like, that's the best case scenario here.
Yeah, and also, even if you're not into, you know, if you're like us, a bit of a sports virgin, but you're not into playing sport, this is great for pub quizzes in the future. Like, we're learning stuff. So
absolutely.
That's amazing.
This is educational, is that what you're saying?
It's exactly
it's
what
it's absolutely
saying.
Educational.
We've all learned today. Turns out sport is quite interesting.
It is, when you don't talk about the sport bit of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Sports Virgins, a Pomodo production. Please follow us and like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow us on your social media platform of choice. We are at Sports Virgins. Follow us, tell us some sports facts, or more preferably, tell us that you know less than us.
That would help. Or any kind of sporting stupidity, please.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.